And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic.
Hello, I'm Adam Hurry, and what you're about to hear is pure cliches. A few minutes we think perfectly encapsulate the essence of our podcast. So whether you hopped on board the football cliches bandwagon way back in the lockdown days, or you're still wondering just how deep into the language of the game this podcast goes, we hope you enjoy our surgical treatment of the concept of a winger having a fullback on toast, and one of our most glorious moments, unearthing one of the holy grails of 1990s football culture, the original punditry audio from the intro to Badil and Skinner's Three Lions. One particular observation from Lee Dixon was sent to me by Tom Miller. Let's hear it.
It's Harry Kane for England. Comfortable for Hugo Lloris. Well, every time England get the ball, they've just got to feed Saka. You've got Fernandes on toast. He doesn't know what to do with him.
Tom Miller asks Dave, according to Lee Dixon, Saka had Theo Hernandez on toast. Is it only a winger that can have a fullback on toast? Or any other usages acceptable? It is that narrow, isn't it? That's the only toastable scenario in football, isn't there?
I'd say so. Yeah, I'd say so. Would a striker out up against a centre back?
You can't have anyone on toast in the central areas, Charlie. Can
yeah.
you?
No, I was thinking what that would be though. That's where my mind went. What would you say when a centre forward? I mean, I guess bullying him or schooling him.
Giving him the runaround.
Giving the runaround, yeah, it's that sort of stuff.
Chasing shadows. I would actually permit a limited use of the inverted in the pocket, in his pocket. I feel like a striker can have a defender in his pocket. I am sort of becoming more sympathetic to the inverse use of this.
I think I heard that. I think someone said that in relation to this game. I can't remember. Maybe it was about Saka. The only exception on toast, if you know how Henri used to just destroy Carragher whenever they played.
Mm.
Obviously, his game, Henri, he was a striker, but it was about drifting wide into wide areas, which is a bit of a cheat. But I think you could legitimately have said he's got Carragher on toast.
But. I think you're right, maybe, but there's still the fundamental thing about it is that you're running past them with
it's
the ball,
pace.
Isn't it?
You're sprinting past them, yeah.
Yeah, if you were giving them a physical situation, that wouldn't be on toast at all.
Kane, I saw some people sort of referring in similar sort of language to Kane and Upamecano on Saturday because he was quite visibly just turning him every time. Upamecano was too close and Kane was getting in for that one that was... It was nearly a penalty. The other one where he had the shot against Lloris. It's one of those where you hear the phrase. What's the first thing that pops into your head? It's as you say, winger repeatedly beating fullback.
Yeah, agreed. Leo Watkins also heard this. He wondered, Charlie, who is the most on toastiest player? Be that the topping or the eater. who's the most toasted fullback?
Well, I mean, back in the day, he wasn't fullback, but I feel like Carragher was. People did have him on toast a bit because he wasn't the quickest before he moved into central area.
Famously torrid times.
I mean, Gary Neville towards the end of his career.
His final game, yeah.
Yeah, his final game. And there was one earlier in that season against Stoke where he should have been sent off. He was so off the pace. I think it was Matty Etherington had him on toast.
Mike Conn against
Bale is hugely toast. That's immense toast. Was Danny Mills on toast at Highbury a couple of times?
Or was that
just more of a general ridicule situation? Sort of got nutmegged by Pires and...
Yes, there was that, yeah. He was a kind of pantomime villain.
Yeah, but didn't actually get rinsed for pace necessarily.
Slightly different. More just made to look a bit clumsy, I think.
So now we've covered the phrase. We've covered what we think it means and the general framework of being on toast. What we need is another ex-player's angle on this. And we're better... than Jay Bothroyd watching the game on Sky Sports News. I love this variation on it.
They don't know what to do. When Saka's got the ball, Hernandez on absolute toast. He doesn't know where to go, outside or inside.
I love absolute toast. It's so good. There are about there are about 10% of words in particularly football language, if you put absolute next to it, makes it so, so much better. But absolute toast is great, Dave. I love
on
it.
Absolute, on absolute toast.
On absolute toast.
Do you like brown or white absolute toast, actually, please, mate?
And it's great because you, yeah, I mean, it's basically he's absolutely got him on toast. It's just like playing with the syntax. But it's almost like the famous John Hartson running a mock, running an absolute mock, which is the finest of that genre. But yeah, no, that's brilliant.
It adds a kind of layer of recent ex-player credibility to the phenomenon as well. It might not be grammatically correct, but there's more emphasis on it. You can visualise it better. He's on absolute toast. It got me thinking, though, Charlie. We established what the areas of the pitch where being on toast happens. But I also think it's not just based on what has actually happened to that defender. I'd say it's about 50% evidence, and the rest of it is hypothesis. It's a little bit like you're doing it in advance. You're saying, give him the ball, and he will have him on toast. I think there's an element of this could carry on going about it.
Yeah, I mean, because I'll often think that, you know, when I'm watching, say, England or whoever, I'm like, you're up against this guy. He's so old. Just get at him. That's not really based on evidence necessarily. It's more an assumption that because he's quite old, or maybe he's playing out of position, you know, it's a centre back or something. It's like, test him, get at his legs. So yeah, it is based a lot on assumption that it will keep happening.
I've got to mention at this point while we're on the subject. After the live show in Dublin last month, we were having a chat with one of the guys in the pub afterwards, and he came up and he was desperate to show us a tweet that he'd had in his mind for years. And it was from February 2017, and it was Keith Andrews commentating on PSG against Barcelona in the Champions League. And on Presnel Kimpembe, he said, "He's settled like absolute snow this evening."
Once again. Put the word absolute in there, and it really works. It really does work. Settled like absolute snow.
Like pure snow.
How weird. I don't think I've ever heard like settled like snow. Has he sort of come to terms with the game sort of thing?
I guess so. Yeah, was he a new signing at the time or settled? Yeah, it's a completely ludicrous
too literal
statement.
Use of the word settled there, if anything.
Yeah.
No wonder you enjoyed it.
Oh, look at that! That is wonderful!
Brought to your ears by The Athletic. This is Football Clichés.
But now, David Walker, Charlie Eccleshare. Boy, do I have something for you. Charlie, I'm going to have to... Because Dave already knows about this, annoyingly, which I kept it from him. But Charlie, if I said the UEFA Cup quarter-final second leg between Nottingham Forest and Bayern Munich on the 19th of March 1996, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you?
Well, I remember listening to that game on the radio.
Oh, really?
I remember... This is the second leg. I remember Bayern won 5-1. Real chastening evening for Forrest. Klinsmann. Was Papa still there? Was he ever there?
Klinsmann was the man in
Klinsmann, I remember coming, you know, he'd been at Spurs the season before and came back. And actually that team had a lot of the team that then went on to win Euro 96.
Yeah. Well, of course it was a chastening season for English clubs in Europe, Dave. Blackburn Rovers crashed out, I think we can safely say, of the Champions League. Manchester United went out to Rota Volgograd in the UEFA Cup, Peter Schmeichel scoring. Liverpool went out UEFA Cup to Bromby. Leeds were thrashed by PSV Eindhoven. So, in summary, it was very much a fallow period for English clubs in Europe.
Vintage English teams in Europe of that period, really.
The haplessness.
Yeah, I'm giving this very much a tantric build-up, this.
I'm so intrigued as to what this could possibly be.
Yeah, just to give everyone a little bit of context, here is from a few episodes ago on Football Clichés. This is something we were talking about. Three Lions fever got to such a stage. Friend of the show, The Telegraph's Tom Gibbs, challenged me to try and find the original audio for the punditry at the start of Three Lions, which I thought would be an easy job. I couldn't find any of it. I feel like it's the YouTube holy grail. But if anyone could find any of those three bits of punditry on YouTube, I'd be eternally grateful.
Yeah, we do need to conduct a nationwide search, I
That'd
think.
Be huge.
Calling all archivists out there.
No way. No way. That... No.
Literally have tears in my eyes. I have tears in my eyes at what is about to unfold. This...
So it's one of those, this is incredible.
This is absolutely amazing. I mean, the Football Clichés podcast ends after today, quite frankly. There's nothing left. This
is from the post-match analysis of Nottingham Forest versus Bayern Munich.
Oh, wow.
March 1996. Dave, cue clip number one.
Bayern played well in the second half, but it's so much easier to play when you're 3-0 up and 4-0 up. On a wider context, I think it's bad news for the English game. The results the performance for me make a mockery of the people that
I knew it.
Say that we've got the best league in the world.
I knew it. I said in that episode when we talked about it, I bet it's from a completely unrelated game to England. It's just someone's found a nice soundbite in a game and they thought, that's the one.
That is amazing. But does Jimmy Hill then go on to say we'll go on getting bad results there, or is that from something else?
Oh, I don't know, Dave. Does he go on to say
Oh my God.
Let's find out.
No.
If we get bad results in the European Championship, we'll go on getting bad results in the future.
Oh my God!
This is incredible.
Oh, it's like finding we are literally finding a sample from a song, but it's like finding a sample from a song. Fucking hell. Now, I mean, as I try and talk through the emotion of this, Charlie, I'd like to furnish you with the third and final sample from the intro to Three Lines, but I don't have it. I do not have it. The Trevor Brooking quote of "we're not creative enough, we're not positive enough" is still out there in the wild. I don't know where it is. Don't know where it is.
To complete that set.
But it's nice to leave it hanging a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that the mission goes on, but that's unbelievable.
If anyone has persisted with this episode of this podcast through the demonyms, all the way through to here, then you are rightly and justly rewarded. What a day, Dave.
Really, I'm quite pleased that our instincts were correct and that it was in just some random game. And I'm still, we found it, but I'm still would be fascinated to hear from whoever was the person who made that decision. Who was it? Was it the producers? Were Skinner and Badil watching that game for some reason? I don't know. How did they happen upon that? Because it is proper needle in a haystack stuff, as we've found out.
March 96, quite late to be getting it as well. It's presumably the last thing they must have recorded. It's like, oh, we probably need a bit of punditry. Can we just go and find a game that was...
Maybe that was what it was. It just happened to, at that moment, it suddenly occurred to them, oh, we do, it would be good to have a voice.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they saw that and thought that just would be perfect.
Yeah. Well, the hunt begins now for Trevor Brooking's third and final piece. This is, I mean, we were talking about this before the show. One of the producers said this was like Indiana Jones. This is literally like finding like two of the three pieces of some precious artifact.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Well, yeah, thanks
to... It feels like Lord of the Rings. Absolutely incredible. Yeah,
absolutely incredible. I feel like Dave, I need to hear those clips one more time.
Yeah, come on.
Bayern played well in the second half, but it's so much easier to play when you're 3-0 up and 4-0 up. On a wider context, I think it's bad news for the English game. The result tonight and the performances in Europe, for me, make a mockery of the people that continually say that we've got the best league in the world.
It's amazing. It's just buried in there. It's literally, four or five words in the middle of this thing, and it's become this absolutely iconic piece of audio that we have relived again and again and again. Successive generations have heard those words from Alan Hansen. There's probably people alive who only know Alan Hansen through Three Lions. Mm-hmm. And it's just a snippet of from one game, from Nottingham Forest against Bayern Munich. I mean, of all things, it's amazing.
It's just the fact that we're so familiar with the cadence and the tone of those words, and they sort of literally just slip out of nowhere. Oh, it's just wonderful. Let's hear Jimmy Hill again, please.
Not only get bad results in the European Championship, we'll go on getting bad results in the future.
So he's talking about England there, Charlie, presumably.
Yeah.
So we were kind of half right in our suspicions all this time.
Yeah. This is just incredible. And that was such a good reveal, the way you built that up. Like, well,
I overdid it, but I don't care. I don't care. There was no elegant way for me to do this. I was so fucking excited. It was unbelievable.
No, that was brilliant, because the penny suddenly dropped. I was like, no, it can't be.
Incredible.
Can it?
Well, if anyone out there can get the third and final piece of this, I'll be so, so happy. There's nothing left to say. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Charlie. See everybody next time. Goodbye.
I think it's bad news for the English game.
We're not creative enough. We're not positive enough.
It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming. Football's coming home.
We'll go on getting back.
It's coming home. 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 just to know the score.
If you enjoyed that little snippet of Football Clichés, make sure to check out our extensive back catalogue of almost 250 episodes of the most niche and obscure football content that still makes perfect sense.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.